Still not working, so I guess I'll use this and hope they have it fixed soon. How about let's read the title on the slide together. Biblical prophecies regarding Israel, Christ's return, Antichrist, and the end of the age. Let's read that verse together, 2 Peter 1:19, first part anyways. And we have the prophetic word made more firm, to which you do well to give heed. Okay. You know, I really appreciated this morning's message on giving heed to the prophetic word. You know, today, this afternoon, we're going to be talking about the prophetic word, prophecies. Prophecies that has been fulfilled and prophecies that will be fulfilled. And I hope our attitude is that we will give heed. We'll give heed to these prophetic words. You know, going back to that story in Matthew on the living star, I hope, you know, us presenting these prophecies concerning Israel, Christ's return, the Antichrist, and the end of the age will not make you like the scribes and the chief priests, right? They know about Christ coming, the first coming. They know all where he's going to be born, how he's going to be born, all the prophecies concerning Christ. Yet, when presented with the opportunity, said, I'm good. I'll stay in Jerusalem. And guess what? They missed it. They missed the Lord's first coming. So I hope we won't miss the Lord's second coming. You know, I heard that some in the afternoon, even though they had a lot of schoolwork to finish, because they didn't want to miss out on the tour. There's some FOMO. You know what FOMO means? Fear of missing out. I hope we have some FOMO on the Lord's coming. Don't miss it. It's going to be the biggest FOMO if you miss it. Amen. Let's take heed. Let's take heed to the prophetic word so that there will be a living star. Living star, right? The Lord shining in our hearts, rising. I hope there's going to be some rising in our hearts this afternoon, okay? Let's go to the next slide. Actually, before we go on to the next slide, I'll just give us an overview of what we're going to be talking about this afternoon. So we're going to talk about three main prophecies. One has already been fulfilled, and two will be fulfilled. Number one is the restoration of the nation of Israel. And number two is the manifestation of a person. This person, 2 Thessalonians, is called what? The man of lawlessness. You know who this person is? Son of perdition. Antichrist. There's going to be a person, and you'll see at the end of this age, who will manifest himself in the world stage, and he will be the Antichrist. And this is the second prophecy is going to be very related to the third prophecy, which is the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. So Antichrist is going to make it happen. You know, if you know the setting in the Middle East, you know the situation there, you would think it's, how can that happen? But it happened. It will happen. The Lord will fulfill his prophecy. He will rebuild a temple. And Antichrist is going to play a big part in the fulfillment of the prophecy. Actually, there's a fourth prophecy that we're going to talk about. You know what the fourth one is? It's you. You know, you are actually part of this prophecy of the Lord's second coming. I heard that many of you were impressed that the Lord's coming, it's just not an event. Actually, it involves us. It involves you making yourselves ready. Actually, that will be the greatest prophecy that will be fulfilled. is the bride being prepared. That is what the Lord is waiting for. You know, the Lord is ready, we heard last night. Actually, the world situation, in a sense, it's getting ready. Israel is getting ready. The temple is ready to be rebuilt. They have a temple institute, right, in Israel. It's ready. They raised the animals, all the furnishings, all the things in the temple. It's ready. They're ready to go. But the question is, are we ready? Are we ready for the Lord's coming? Still not working. Okay. Okay, let's go to the first slide. So, first prophecy that has been fulfilled is the restoration of the nation of Israel. How about let's read that verse together? Matthew 24:32. You know, in Matthew 24, the Lord talking about many, many things concerning, you know, his coming. The disciples wondering, you know, tell us what it's going to be like when you come. And, you know, the Lord's saying a bunch of things regarding Israel, about the world situation. But then in this verse, he makes a turn. He says, but learn the parable of the fig tree. What is the fig tree? The fig tree in the Old Testament is a symbol of the nation of Israel. So this word is not spoken to Israel. This word is spoken to his believers, his New Testament believer, that's us. So we need to pay attention. This is not just some trivial matter that's happening in history. We need to pay attention. We need to take heed to the prophetic word. But learn the parable of the fig tree as soon as its branch has become tender and put forth its leaves, you know that the summer is near. So what is the summer referring to? This is referring to the coming trying times as we are here. It doesn't say the summer is here. It says the summer is near. That means when we see the restoration of the nation of Israel, we realize we're close. We're not there yet. There's still some time, but we're close. We're close to the end of this age. So just a little history. In 70 AD, there was the destruction of the second temple in Jerusalem and it's in the city of Jerusalem by Titus, the Roman governor. And that marks the end, right? A symbolic end because, you know, the city of Jerusalem and the temple in Jerusalem is what held the Jewish people together. That's what united them. Without Jerusalem and the temple, they scatter, right? So after what happened, they scatter. That's why you see the Jewish people in Europe, in Russia, here in Canada. If you go to Bathurst Street, there's a lot of Jewish community there in Toronto. In Montreal, there's a lot here. In New York. So they've been scattered. So the nation of Israel did not exist for many years, over 1,000 years, almost 2,000 years. What happened? In 1948, under the Lord's sovereignty and his arrangement of the world situation, there's a declaration of independence of the nation of Israel. Never in history have we seen this. A nation ceasing to exist for how many years is that? That's 1080. Sorry, my math. I'm a little tired. Someone do the mental math. 1878. This many years. And somehow, they're able to restore their nations. And even the Lord preserved them. You know, the Jewish people, they're able to preserve their culture, their religion, their identity, their language, for this amount of time. Who can do it? Who can do it? God. God can do it. God did it. He did it in 1948, this restoration of the nation of Israel. But at the time, they only recover a part of what we see today on the map as Israel. It was not until the Six-Day War in 1967 that they recovered. The most important part, that is the city of Jerusalem. And this is a big deal. I know this is before you were born, this is before I was born. But when that happened, it's like, whoa. The Christians that know these prophecies, they're like, it's near. The Lord's coming soon. But they didn't know how soon. But today, do we realize the urgency? Do we have the sense of urgency in our being that the Lord is coming soon? The prophecy is being fulfilled. Israel is getting ready, but are we ready? And actually, the restoration of the city of Jerusalem paves the way. It lays the groundwork for what? For the temple to be rebuilt. And that hasn't happened yet. But we know when that happens, the Lord is coming. That we'll see, it marks the beginning of the 7 years that we will see in the prophecies. And, you know, talking about history, talking about, you know, the current world events, there's a war right now in Israel between, you know, Palestinians, right, and the Israelis. You may have a lot of opinion. It seems like every day, everyone nowadays on social media has a political opinion about something. What's right, what's wrong? Well, today we want to bring you out of that realm of right and wrong and bring you into God's word. Today we're not taking this side, we're not taking that side, we're taking God's side. We're standing on God's word. Standing on the word of God. Okay, let's go to slide 2. And you know, Hosea was speaking concerning this as well. He says, how about let's read that together? Hosea 6:2.
You will harden us after 2 days. On the third day, he will raise us up, and we will live in his presence.
After 2 days. So I'm just going to read a quick footnote in our recovery version on Hosea 6:2. With the Lord, 1 day is like 1,000 years, right? We see that in 2 Peter 3:8. 1 day to the Lord, 1,000 years to the Lord is like 1 day. According to this principle, the 2 days here may signify the first 2 periods of 1,000 years each. Counting from AD 70, right? When the Roman prince Titus destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, cruelly killed thousands of Jews and scattered the Jews among the nations. From that time, the Jews have been without king, without prince, without sacrifice, and without the temple, fulfilling Hosea's prophecy in Hosea 3:4, right? They'll be without kings, without prince, without sacrifice, without pillar, without the temple. For 2,000 years, God has left Israel in a dead condition. After this 2,000-year period, the third 1,000 years will come. The third day may signify a third period of 1,000 years. That is the millennium, the age of restoration, which is the age after this age, which will be in the reality of Christ's resurrection. At that time, Israel will be raised up, that is, restored. So if you do the math, right? What is it? 2,000 plus 70? 2,070? Well, we're not here to tell you the exact date of the Lord's return. Actually, no one knows. Even the Lord says, only the Father knows the exact time and day that the Lord is coming. But the point is to show us that we're close. We're close. It may be 2070, may not be, but we're close. It's going to be in your lifetime the Lord will return. And just, again, that may put some, you know, fear in our hearts and maybe a little scared. Wow, that's scary. I'm not ready. But be encouraged. The Lord has given us enough time to be ready, but there is no time to waste. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's move on. So we're going to make a turn here from Matthew and Hosea to Daniel. We're going to be talking quite a bit about the prophecy seen in Daniel. So this is, thank you, Deborah, for making this diagram, but this is a condensed version of a diagram you'll see in your Recovery Version Bible of the 70 weeks prophesied in Daniel, okay? And 1 week in this prophecy equals to what? 7 years. 7 years, okay? I don't have time to get into the details. We don't have time to get into details, but we just want to highlight some major points in the prophecy concerning the 70 weeks. So that's just focus. I'm going to focus on this first part of the prophecy, the first 69 weeks. Go to the next slide. So I'm just going to read some verses. In Daniel 9:24, 70 weeks are apportioned for you, for your people and for your holy city. This is talking to, obviously, the Jewish people. To close the transgression and to make an end to sins and to make propitiation for iniquity and to bring in the righteousness of the ages and to seal up vision and prophet and to anoint the holy of holies. This is, what is this talking about? This is talking about the end, the coming, right? The coming, the end of this age. 25. Know therefore and comprehend from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the time of Messiah, the prince will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with street and trench, even in distressful times. So what is this talking about? If you know the history, if you have read some of your Bible, you know there was the first destruction of the city of Jerusalem, right? By Babylon, right? The children of Israel were carried away in captivity, and the temple was destroyed. But there was a prophecy in Jeremiah. After a certain amount of time, they were going to return and rebuild the temple. And if, 70 years, that's right. Amen. Someone's read their Bible. Amen. If you read the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, see the children of Israel, God was faithful to fulfill this prophecy in Jeremiah. So they came back, they rebuilt the temple, they rebuilt the wall, they rebuilt the city. So from that time on, it's 7 weeks. 7 times 7 is 49. So there was 49 years let's backtrack a little bit. Sorry, I think I missed a little detail. This is the 49 years, the 7 weeks is from when King Cyrus, right, the prince of the king of Persia, issued a decree that the children of Israel can go, they can return to serve their God and to rebuild the temple. So that's 49 years. But from that moment onward, from the finishing of the building of the temple and the city, to what? I'm going to read verse 26. And after 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and will have nothing. And the people of the prince who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end of it will be a flood. And even to the end, there will be a war. Desolations are determined. So from the finishing of the rebuilding of the temple and the city to what? The cutting off of the Messiah. What is that? That is the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, of Christ. That is... If you read your Bible, you'll realize the Lord, you know, when he was on this earth, why did he need to go to Jerusalem? The disciples were, you know, why are you going to Jerusalem? But the Lord knew, because why? He knew the prophecy. He knew the prophecy. He knew the time and day that he needed to go to Jerusalem. He needed a year, and this was fulfilled. After 434 years, after the finishing of the rebuilding of the temple, and the city, Christ, right? He was crucified on the cross for us. Now, I'm going over time, but I'll just quickly finish. Between verse 26 and 27, I think our brother Abel will go further in the later parts of the 70 weeks. But from the 69 week, onwards, between these 2 weeks, the 69th and the 70th week, there's a gap. What is that? This gap is what we're in today. It is the age of mystery, the age of grace, the age of the church. And no one knows how long this period is. Actually, I feel like the Lord is quite wise to not tell us the exact timeline of how long the age of mystery is, because it causes us to be watchful, to be looking for the Lord's return. It causes us to love his appearing. Anyway, I think I'll finish here and I'll pass it off to you.
Is that working?
Oh, there we go. Okay, praise the Lord. There's life. Okay. Everybody hear me okay? Good. Praise the Lord. We are in the age of the church, age of grace. But as Terry mentioned, it's an age of mystery. And so, there are many mysteries, actually, in the Bible that are revealed to us through prophecies. I'll just put it in my pocket. And we are going to consider, okay, a dream that a person in the Old Testament called Daniel, he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar, okay, Daniel chapter 2. So why don't we go to... So there's this king, dream. He asks all of his wise men, I want you to interpret this dream. If you don't interpret, I'm going to kill you. And then says, okay, give me a day. He goes and prays. And, okay, I've got the interpretation. Okay, so I think this is kind of the wrong slideshow, but anyway. can you refresh it? Just redo it, like undo and redo. Yeah. Okay, sorry, the order is a little bit. Yeah. Refresh. Yeah, that's the right one, yeah. Okay, just 1 second. Okay, so, wait, there's this dream, and Daniel, the interpretation. I'm just going to read it, okay, as I get it up here. Daniel chapter 2, 38. You are head of gold, okay? And after another kingdom will arise superior to you, and there will be another kingdom, a third one of bronze, which will rule over all the earth. There we go, okay? And there will be a fourth kingdom as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron crushes and shatters everything. And like iron that smashes all these, it will crush and smash. Next slide. And in that you saw the feet and the toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron. The kingdom will be a confused mass. Iron in it, for you saw the iron mixed. And as the toes of the feet were, partly of iron, partly of clay, so some of the kingdom will be strong and part of it will be fragile. And in that you saw the iron mixed with the earthly clay, they will be mixed together through the seed of men, but they will not cleave to one another, even as iron does not mix with clay. So what we have throughout the history of mankind. I might use a microphone because it's choppy. Is that okay? Okay, I'll just keep speaking until someone gives me a microphone. we have basically human government, okay? And so we start with Babylon, okay? And this is so accurate, actually. So there's a teacher, y'all might not know him, some might. Brother Lee, Witness Lee, says, after I studied this, hello? Yes. It says, after I studied this, okay, looked at this image, and then I looked at how it all unfolded, it says, it's stupid not to believe that the Bible is true. These are not my words, okay? That's what he says. And so it is so accurate to the unfolding of human government. That is the power, right? The governments that took power, world power. Okay. I just want you to take note that there are, in this statue, how many toes does a human have? 10. Okay, easy, simple. Take note, okay? 10 toes. That's very important. Because at the end of all this, you have a kind of a revived Roman Empire with 10 toes, okay? And this is, again, very significant to the end time. Because in the end time, okay, I'll give you a little summary here. Sorry, I don't want to clip this on. Okay, here we go. Sorry for all the distractions. At the end, I'm going to read this point, okay? Although the form and appearance of the Roman Empire have vanished, the culture, spirit, and essence of the Roman Empire continue to exist today. At the beginning of the Great Tribulation, the form and appearance of the Roman Empire will be restored under Antichrist. And so if you didn't notice, the legs were the Roman Empire. Oh, you didn't go to the next slide. Sorry. Yeah, I should probably tell you that. Okay. So the Roman Empire, and at the end, there's a mixture, iron plus clay. So this is kind of telling us the essence, okay, the form of the Roman Empire will reemerge in the last days. And then the 10 kings with their kingdoms, typified by the 10 toes of the 10 image, or sorry, the great image in Daniel 2, will be joined together under Antichrist, who will be the last Caesar of the revived Roman Empire. All of this will transpire in Europe. Okay, so this is quite accurate. We believe that the Bible is quite, it shows things in such a way that if you look at how it happened and you see how it all came to be, that tells us that the future will happen in that way as well. And so there is consistency, and we know because of the description of the area, the Mediterranean Sea, this is going to happen in Europe. Okay, so let's go on to the next slide. Okay, so I kind of purposely took away names here because I don't want you to start speculating, could it be this guy or that guy? But there are statements being put out. The first one's actually kind of, it's an older statement, but this was a founding father of the European Union. Okay, and so look what he says. What we want is a man of sufficient stature, okay, sufficient stature to hold the allegiance of all the people and to lift us out of the economic morass into which we are sinking. Let send us such a man, and be he God or the devil, we will receive him. So this is the desire of the leaders of Europe, okay? This is like the top kind of head honcho at that time. And then the second statement is just actually a recent headline. Okay, so-and-so, I'm not going to give names, wants a modern recreation of the Roman Empire as a way of achieving cooperation between Europe and its neighbors. This kind of statement you can find. If you go online, you'll see. There are these kind of statements. We need our own army that is independent, that can fight wars. And, you know, with this whole thing that happened with Ukraine, all the more Europe is rising up saying, we need our own army. We can't depend on NATO and the United States. We need a revived Roman army. Okay? So this is kind of the direction of things. And this is actually going to set the stage for this person to rise up under 10 kings, or you could say maybe 10 rulers or presidents or whatever they may be, in that land, in the area of Europe. If we go to the next slide. Okay, so there are two beasts, okay? So I'm not going to get into all the details. Daniel has a lot. There's the chapter 2, the great image. Chapter 7, there are four beasts that come out of the sea, okay, which mean kind of the Gentile world. And then in chapter 8, there is a goat with a little horn that comes out of four horns, okay? I'm not going to go into too much detail, but you can read these chapters in Daniel and the life study of Revelation, message 40. Again, life study of Revelation, message 40. You'll get all the details there. I'm just going to skim through them. I can't really touch all of them. Okay, so we're going to consider these two, okay? Chapter 7, last terrible beast, and chapter 8, the goat with a little horn. And these will tell us, they will give us some characteristics that we can expect to see in this person called the Antichrist, who will rise to power in that area Okay? And so first, let's consider Daniel chapter 7, the fourth beast. Let's go to the next slide. So the Bible tells us, Daniel chapter 7, verse 7, "After this, I watched in the night visions, and there was a fourth beast, dreadful and frightful and exceedingly strong." Okay? So this fourth beast, I know I didn't give too many details, but it actually corresponds with the legs and the feet, which mean this is a kind of Roman Empire, okay, revived. And it has 10 horns, and there's one horn that comes up. That also, it's kind of a type in a type, but this is a type of the Antichrist, okay? And it says that this horn is exceedingly strong. Do you guys know that the Roman Empire, has anyone studied like classical studies or history, Rome, West in the world? Okay. The Roman Empire was exceedingly strong. They completely trampled nations, just obliterated peoples. They were just brutal, okay? They were, and their government, it was a very strong kind of coherent system, right? At the beginning, of course. And so this is a type of the Antichrist, okay? Who is mentioned here as a type. Let's go to the next one. And so I guess the point also is that the Antichrist will kind of take control of all of the nations around the Mediterranean Sea, okay? A lot of the nations will come in to join him. The next slide says, the eyes, okay? So the point is, eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things, okay? So eyes in the Bible signify insight, right? There are other portions that talk about this, but the Antichrist is going to be such a brilliant person, a brilliant, really intellectual person, and he will have the ability to captivate people, right? With his ideas and thoughts, so great, so high, okay? Never heard before. He will probably have a very, very good, modern, high education, political science, scientific understanding. He will have so much, he'll be so resourceful, okay? And regarding the mouth, speaking great things, he'll be a very eloquent speaker. Very eloquent speaker. So when you see a person that has these things, okay, very brilliant, intellectual, and then very eloquent on the other hand, keep an eye out, okay? I'm not going to, just watch. Watch with the perspective of the prophetic word. Okay, next slide, his appearance. So the Bible tells us that his appearance was greater than that of his companions. And so he will have this kind of very attractive, kind of imposing appearance. Just his appearing before people will just woo them and melt them, you know? Kind of, you can say, almost like Christ, you can say. At the beginning, he's going to be so nice, okay? So good. That people will just be attracted. He'll be like a magnet, social magnet. Okay? So keep in mind, he's not always going to be a bad guy, right? There are some things in here that talk about, but at the beginning, he's going to be, everybody will be, oh, this guy is great, so smart, so eloquent, so nice, okay? We'll get to that, okay? So, okay, let's go to Daniel chapter 8, and then we'll go into Daniel 9, where we'll see a little bit about what he'll accomplish. In Daniel chapter 8, okay, yeah, keep going. So this is regarding the goat, okay? So the terrible beast represented Roman Empire, which he will have some characteristics of that. And then the goat represents the Greek, actually. Okay, so the goat in this chapter represents Alexander the Great. Y'all know who Alexander the Great was? Yeah, the guy who conquered like the whole world in like, you know, before he was 30. So look at how it says this. I hope I got it in here. Yeah, so the male goat became very great, but once he became strong, the horn was broken. Okay? That's Alexander the Great. He got very strong and then broke. Okay? So he was in power for 12 years, suddenly died. We still don't know. Maybe there are some theories. I don't know if I remember what it was. History tells us that he came from Macedonia, Alexander the Great, and he put on, guess what he put on for his crown? Guess what he used? That's right, you studied. So he used goat horns for his crown. Yeah, he would use goat horns. So the Bible is actually pretty spot on, right? It's pretty accurate. But so once he dies, okay, so it says there is a broken horn, and then in its place, four conspicuous ones come up. Who rules the Greek Empire after Alexander the Great? Four generals. Hey, look. This is so accurate. Four horns, four generals, okay? Four directions. And then it says, look what it says. Out of one of them came a fourth little horn. Okay? So what this indicates, okay, and it says more grows to the south, etc. Beautiful land, by the way, is Israel. So keep that in mind. We'll talk about that soon. But what this indicates is that this person will very, very, very likely have Macedonian or Greek roots. So probably Greek. Probably a Greek person. And, you know, in my studying, I saw Greeks have always been renowned for their philosophical intellectual mind, which may be why he's so bright, right? But anyway, all that aside, this kind of tells us that kind of his ethnicity, if you look back, you'll find out he was actually Greek. Now, this may be tricky because even the Lord Jesus, you know, it said that he was from Bethlehem. People call him the Nazarite. So there may be things that are not that easy to decipher. However, this tells us Greek, okay, if you go back far enough. let's go to the next 3 minutes. So he will touch the host of heaven. This next prophecy tells us some of the host and some of the stars to fall to the earth, okay? And he trampled them. I mean, this is not hard to imagine nowadays, right? I mean, SpaceX. I mean, space travel has become so prevalent in this day and age, so accessible. So the Bible tells us that he's going to do something in the heavens, whether it would be with, you know, the moon, planets, or satellites, I'm not sure, but he'll do something to cause, you know, some chaos or cause things to fall. I don't think, again, you don't need to, it's not that hard to imagine in this day and age, right? And it just shows us how close, when this becomes possible, hey, it means the time is near. Next slide. It tells us that he will cast down truth to the ground. Have we ever seen a generation, maybe the older ones will have a better kind of perspective, regarding this, but have we ever lived in a time where truth has been so subjective? Where BJ, you get your own truth, and Terry gets his own truth, and I have my own truth, and you know, it's just like, what is truth? Actually, there are people ask, what is truth anymore? No one knows, you know. And so the Antichrist is going to take this to an extreme. However, we're not that far from there. Truth actually doesn't mean much anymore, right? So when he comes on the scene, he's going to take this to the furthest extent. And we're going to see Brother Emmanuel tell us something bizarre, but people are going to just follow it because he just, all the way to the other end. Okay, so the next slide. He brings peace. And now Dennis mentioned this, okay? He's going to be so great, so charming, so charismatic, so good. He's going to win the hearts and the praises of the people. And he's going to bring peace to the Middle East. And without causing World War III. Right? Maybe we can imagine, you know, peace in the Middle East and the Third Temple being built, because it talks about a firm covenant with many for 1 week. And it says that eventually he will, he will cause, right, the oblation to cease. He will cause the sacrifice, the oblation to cease, which that can only happen in a temple, the third temple that's rebuilt in Jerusalem. And so this tells us that the temple will be rebuilt under his watch. He's going to make it happen. Who in the history of mankind could do something like this? No one, right? And so he's really going to be highly esteemed. Some say he'll win the, you know, Nobel Peace Prize for this. But he's going to be so good. He's going to do things that are just so marvelous that people were going to, they're just going to follow him. They're just going to say, this guy's great. Take my heart. Right? Now, I want to just talk quickly from the book of Thessalonians. My time is running out. But look what it says here. Let no one deceive you in any way, because it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, an object of worship, so that he sits in the temple of God, setting himself forth, saying that he is God. And Emmanuel will touch this more, but I just want to mention this. And now you know that which restrains, and now you know that which restrains, so that he might be revealed in his own time. For it is the mystery of lawlessness that is now operating, but only until the one now restraining goes out of the way. So there is a kind of force that's restraining this one from coming forth, from being revealed. And, but eventually, okay, and we already see it happening, this force is going to be taken back little by little, okay? And truth will no longer be truth. You know, Isaiah says, bitter will be called sweet, and light will be darkness, and everything will be turned gradually. You'll see. It's already happening, actually. It's already happening. And eventually, this is just going to cause this one to be revealed, okay? Now, I just wanted to say this, that this man of lawlessness, what is lawlessness, actually? The Bible tells us lawlessness is sin, okay? And what is sin? Sin is just a dethroning of God in our hearts. When we sin, we dethrone God. And so I just want to leave you with this word of encouragement. We should all pray, Lord, as the time draws near for your return, I pray that I would not be drifting along in this lawless age, but that rather, what, I would give you the ground to set up your throne in my heart, right? I don't want to be a person who allows this Antichrist to be revealed through my lawless living. No, Lord, but rather, Lord, you set your throne in my heart. I think I'll stop there and allow Manuel to go. Oh, yes.
Okay. Thank you. Can you imagine? Are you all okay? Are you still with us? I mean, it's a lot of signs, right? But if you get these prophecies, we have a burden. And that's that you'll realize the time is near. And the urgency of our need to make ourselves ready. You will see this man come on the scene in your lifetime. That's what we're saying. And we want you to wake up, because no one at your university is telling you. They're saying, give your whole life to this. And can you imagine if that's all you know? You will. And in that day, caught asleep with everybody else. So this man, the Antichrist, he's going to be so wonderful. He's going to unify Europe. And out of that, he will rule the world to the point that he can fix that problem in the Middle East. I mean, think about it. Have you watched the news? There's going to be someone who says, hey, let's knock this off. Let's be friends. And everyone's going to listen. Oh, yeah. That's a good idea. Why didn't we think of that? You know, the rebuilding of the third temple? You know the location? It's where the current Dome of the Rock is. That needs to be removed. And will be. So that spot is where the temple will be rebuilt. This man will do it in such a way that World War III doesn't break out and we all die. All the nukes aren't launched. Do you know what I mean? How wonderful he must be. Okay, so let's go to the next slide. So we're focusing right here. The last week, And we're talking about here the rebuilding of the temples right at the beginning. He comes on the scene. He's wonderful. He wins the Nobel Peace Prize. He creates peace in the Middle East. The rebuilding of the temple begins. No, that in that time, 3.5 years, his true self will be revealed. He's not so nice. He will break the covenant. And this will begin a period called the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation. And if you're a believer on the earth or a Jew on the earth, it will be a great tribulation. And he will turn against anyone that stands with God. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Okay, the Antichrist will say that he is God, and people will believe the lie. Right here, 2 Thessalonians 2:4, saying that he is God. And people will believe the lie. He'll do some works. But can you imagine that? Okay, a great leader, no problem. No problem. Right? You believe that, right? Atheists believe that. Okay. A man who's great. But he's going to say he's God. And everyone's going to believe him. All your atheist friends. Oh, he's God. There is a God. It's Antichrist. Well, that won't be his name. But... okay, they'll be deceived completely. Okay, let's keep going. Okay, so we're focusing now on this. That there's going to be a specific event, and that's what I share with you. It's right here, something's going to happen in particular that everyone's going to go, this is God, and I have proof. Even the atheists. Okay, let's keep going. Okay, Antichrist breaks the covenant with Israel after 3.5 years. Just so you don't think I made it up. And here it is, Daniel 9:27. And he'll make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. Okay, that's the covenant with Israel that they can what? Rebuild the temple and start offering sacrifices to God. And the Jews believe this. The Temple Institute, all the furnishings are ready. They say they can rebuild the temple in a year easy. They genetically engineered red heifers because you need red heifers to offer as a burnt offering to God. They're taking it seriously. They see the signs, and none of God's words, any of his promises have ever failed, not one. Isn't this pretty accurate? It's like none of them are wrong. If one of them is wrong, it's not God. They're all right. 100% accurate. Okay, but he will, in the middle of the week, that's in the middle of those 7-year period, says he will cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. He's going to break that promise. And will replace the sacrifice and oblation with the abominations of the desolator. He's going to make himself God. He's going to set up an image there. And everyone will worship him as God, this man. So wonderful. Okay, then that'll start a time period called the Great Tribulation. And I put this verse here. Therefore, when you see the abomination of the desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, right above it, standing in the holy place, let him who reads understand. And that, I didn't write that. That's actually in the Bible. It's not my parentheses. It's there. Understand this. This is going to happen. Matthew 24:29. For at that time, there will be a great tribulation. Okay? And if it's longer than 3.5 years, no flesh on earth would survive it. You don't get 3.5 years plus a day. Or no one would make it. Okay, the great tribulation is coming after this. Okay, let's keep going. Okay, so that's this section here. So something happens here, and everyone's going to say, this is God, right? And then a great tribulation will happen. that lasts for 3.5 years, not a day more, and then the Lord comes back. Okay? Okay, let's keep going then for time's sake. Okay. Okay, this is it. Antichrist is assassinated and resuscitated. A counterfeit resurrection, causing everyone to believe he is God. And this is in the Bible. Have you heard this? The older ones, feel free, raise your hands. Have you heard this? The younger ones, if you haven't heard it, raise your hand. Okay, so we have some awareness. Okay, let's look at the verses though. Revelation 13:1, I saw a beast coming up out of the sea. Okay? And the dragon, that's Satan, gives him great power. 3, and one of his heads was as it were slain to death, and his death stroke was healed. And the whole earth marveled after the beast. The whole earth. And then 13:4, they worshiped the dragon. That's Satan. What? And they worshiped the beast. That's Antichrist. Who is like the beast? And who can make war with him? Keep going. Okay, 5. Okay, he speaks great things and blasphemies. He says, I am God. That's a blasphemy. And authority was given to him to act for 42 months. You do your math, 42 months is 3.5 years. That's the great tribulation. 13:6, and he opened his mouth for blasphemies against God. He is God. 7, and permission was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Okay, something changes in him. Before, everyone loves him. Man of peace, man of peace. Then he dies, and then he's healed from that. But he comes out different. He comes out ready to kill. Make war with who? The saints. And overcome them. God's people. Okay, let's keep going. I'm sick. One more. Oh, back. Yeah, sorry. Okay, Antichrist is a sat. Okay, this is a, sorry. We split this up. Okay. Look at this. 13:8. Same chapter of the Bible, Revelation 13:8. And all those dwelling on the earth will worship him. All of them. You have any friends who don't believe in God? Guess what? They don't hear the gospel. This is who they're going to worship. They're right here. Do not. It's not a joke. Okay, 14. This is, okay. 14. I wrote this because we know how he's going to be assassinated. Who had the stroke of the sword and revived. We know the weapon. He's not shot with a gun. He's slain with a sword and revived. You think the Bible is accurate? You wait and see. You wait and see. Let's keep going. Okay. Antichrist persecutes God's people who remain during the Great Tribulation. But God provides a place for them. Okay, so something changes in him. Okay, well, let me give you this here. Revelation 12:1, we see a great sign, and there's a woman, okay? She's clothed with the sun, the moon's under her feet, and she's crowned with 12 stars. And that woman signifies the totality of all God's people throughout time. The 12 stars, those are the patriarchs, like Adam, Enoch, right? All those ones, and before the law. Then eventually, you have the moon under her feet, and that was before Christ came. It was night, right? And so that's the during the time of law, before his first coming. And then you have all, so that you could say the Israelites, the Jews. And then you have the sun, right? Hold the sun. That's the New Testament. Believers, that's you. So this woman, as a totality, is all of God's people, universally from beginning to now, right? And we're all in this picture, right? Okay. And she was with child. And she's pregnant. She has a bump. She cried out, travailing in birth, being in pain to bring forth a birth. You remember in Matthew where the Lord has talked about birth pangs? The signs of the times are related to like birth pangs. Those are birth pangs. Well, here's the one having a baby. Here she is. 12:3, and another sign was seen in heaven. Behold, there was a great red dragon with the Antichrist there, 7 heads and 10 horns. Okay. Okay, and he wants to devour her child. So she's bringing forth a child, and he wants to devour her. Next slide. Okay, who is this child? What is this child? She brought forth a son, a man child, who's to shepherd all the nations, and her child was caught up to God, to his throne. Oh, praise the Lord for the man child. You know what the man child is? The man child is the stronger part of the woman. A child so new, so fresh, so living, and a man to do God's will. The man child is the overcomers throughout the history. Okay? Well, before the great tribulation happens, they're raptured to the throne with all the living overcomers, right? They're not in the great tribulation. Satan's doing everything to stop you from overcoming, from making yourself ready for his coming. But if you get ready, at that time he'll call us and he'll miss out. He doesn't get to do anything to the man child. Anyway, then 13, oh no, wait. Okay, but then the woman remains. Some of God's people won't be ready. The woman remains on the earth. And look at this. And the woman fled into the wilderness. Okay, there's a wilderness. She has a place there prepared by God, so that they might nourish her 1,260 days. Guess how many years that is? 3.5. During the great tribulation, God will still care for his people, providing them a place called the wilderness. And I'll say what that is in a moment. And when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who brought forth the man child. Oh, he's so upset because he knows his time is almost done. And he's limited to the earth. There's a lot of steps there. But he wants to take it out on her, on God's people. And you'll see why in a minute. There's a reason why he changes so drastically. Revelation 12:14, and to the woman there was given the two wings of the great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place. She is nourished for a time, 1 year. And times, 2 more years. And half a time. 3.5. Sorry, I don't have half a finger. 3.5 times. In the face of the serpent. Okay? You see it? Well, those wings like an eagle, of course, that's God. God empowering her. Like he did the children of Israel out of the world, right? Wings like an eagle. But in typology, there's also a nation that has a symbol of the eagle with two coasts as the wings. That's known for receiving refugees and whose foundation was God. You know the name of that country? The United States of America. I'm in Canada, but the United States of America. You know where to go if you're not ready, okay? Oh, well, we're laughing, but trust me. You know, some saints, I've heard this. They're buying property because they want to have a way. Just not for themselves, but for all of God's people. Everyone's endeavoring to go, but they believe the prophecy. Making room for maybe some from here that need a place to go. It's definitely the ones from Europe. keep going. Time. Okay, the Antichrist, who is this? Okay, this is why he changes so drastically. And the Antichrist, who's the seventh Caesar, dies and is resuscitated with the spirit of Nero, the fifth Caesar, to make him the eighth and final Caesar. Okay, I'll explain in a second. The beast, Revelation 17:8, the beast that you saw was, so that means he was alive, and is not, that means he died, and is about to come up out of the abyss and go into perdition. Okay? And those who dwell on the earth, okay, will marvel at the beast. Okay, that he was, that means he is alive, and is not, that means he died, and will be present, that means he resuscitated, right? But with the spirit of one from the abyss, here is the mind which has wisdom. Again, God's telling us, have wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains where the woman sits. Keep going. That, I don't know if you know this, but Rome was situated on seven mountains. Does anyone know that? Okay, good. And are seven kings. Five have fallen. One is, the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must remain only a short time. And the beast who was and is not, he himself is also the eighth and is out of the seven and goes into perdition, the son of perdition. Okay, the seven kings, let me just tell you real quick, are the seven Caesars of history, starting with Julius Caesar, okay? And then, I think it's, is it Tiberius? And then, I might be wrong, Caligula, Claudius is one of them. Okay, but the fifth one I know, that's Nero, okay? That's Nero. And then the sixth is Domitian. And the seventh is Antichrist. Okay, but the seventh is assassinated. And then it says, the fifth one, his spirit out of the abyss, that's the spirit of Caesar Nero, resuscitates him. And when he comes up, that makes him the eighth one. And that's the one who will persecute God's people during the Great Tribulation. You know what Caesar Nero is famous for? Killing Christians in the grossest ways. Our brothers and sisters, at the time of the Great Tribulation, that person will be reincarnated in the Antichrist, who's so full, so smart, so eloquent. Oh, peace in the Middle East. But at that point, his personality changes. That is the Great Tribulation. Okay, let's keep going. Amen. Amen? Okay, well, it's not over. We got to get to the end of it. Antichrist, in the totality of human government, is crushed by Christ. And his overcomers. And his kingdom will be established on the earth. Okay, that's so as wonderful as that was, that's not how it ends. The 3.5 years, those overcomers, that man-child who's caught to the heavens, the living overcomers, they come back with Christ. And they war against the Antichrist. Okay, let's read these verses. You were watching until a stone was cut without hands, and it struck the image at its feet of iron and clay and crushed them. Praise the Lord. So that's what? The revived Roman Empire, the 10 toes, and the Antichrist, right? Okay. And then what happens to that stone? The stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. It filled the whole earth. That's the millennial kingdom. Wow. Okay? Brings in a new age where Christ reigns. Forget human government. Forget the Antichrist. Jesus is Lord. Amen. He's Lord of lords and King of kings. And the overcomers will reign with him for 1,000 years. Okay. And in the days of those kings, the God of the heavens will raise up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And its reign will not be left to another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, and it will stand forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that good? I mean, we should have the whole picture, right? Let's go. No, there's more. There's a lot more. Hey! Antichrist. Okay, this is a further... Okay, more verses. Where does this take place? Has anyone heard of Armageddon? That's where that battle takes place. Okay? Antichrist will have his armies. Remember, they said, oh, who's going to fight him? You know, us. Who can defeat Antichrist and his armies? Right? I mean, think about it. They're like, okay, guys, let's get our guns, our tanks, our helicopters, and let's go fight Jesus. We're going to win this. Yeah. I mean, believing the lie. We can war with God and win. That's what people are going to think. And they're going to actually show up for a fight. Okay? Where? Armageddon. Okay. It goes terribly for them. It ends with... Sorry, we got to go fast. There's a false prophet. I'm not touching that. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. And it says all the armies are destroyed. The Battle of Armageddon, Antichrist, lake of fire. All the armies defeated. Next one. Okay. Ooh, this is my favorite one. That's why I was like, no, I was thinking of this one. Christ with his bridal army is the crushing stone to defeat Antichrist and his armies and end this age.
Amen.
So let us rejoice.
Amen.
And exalt, and let us give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and
we
it was given to her that she would be clothed in fine linen, bright and clean. Sisters, say yes to the dress. Okay. Bright and clean. Okay. There's a lot of involved there. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. 9. And he said to me, write, blessed are they who are called to the marriage dinner of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Is there another one? Oh, yeah. Okay, so there's a wonderful scene, right? They're enjoying love. But then guess what? Look at the armies. So Christ is, he's leading these armies. He's the Word of God. But look who's coming with him. And the armies which are in heaven followed him on white horses dressed in. Their bridal gown. This is their honeymoon. Okay. 15. And he treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of the God, of God the Almighty. He comes back with his bridal army. And they destroy Antichrist and bring in a new age. And for 1,000 years, they enjoy a wedding feast. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Why are we giving you these signs? You remember? Because it's about to happen. We need to make ourselves ready. Okay, but don't get caught up with the signs. There's a lot more to study even. But remember, it's John. Is he here? That's okay. Dennis is here. When your children were born, right? Your wife started having the birth pangs, right? Oh. You're not like, oh. Yeah, don't panic. But don't say, hey, honey, I'll take you next week. Okay? Let me watch the game first. Toronto Raptors are winning. Maple Leafs are, I don't know anything. Okay, anyway. Don't do that, okay? But don't get so distracted. It's not about the birth pangs. What's coming in a hidden way? The baby, right? It's all about the baby. It's all about a group of people that make themselves ready. Oh, live every day for his appearing. Enjoy the prophetic word. Don't miss that. But the signs help us know. Oh, we got to go. Amen, we got to go. Okay, we're done. No. Oh, wait. Yeah. We wanted to end this time with a little prayer. I mean, to hear such a word, we don't expect you to speak it. This is a lot. But we would like you all to gather in groups of like 3, maybe 4 at the most, and just have some prayer. You've heard so much in this conference. Our Lord hears your prayer. And when you ask according to his desire, in his name, he will give you whatever you ask for. And I ask that everyone pray. It's okay to pray more than once. If you're not good at praying, like, oh, I don't know how to do this, or other people are watching me, just pray from your heart. Pray from your heart. Be genuine. And if you really can't utter it out loud, just say, excuse me, guys, I can't do this, but can you pray for me? And let the ones who you're with pray for you.